Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stand. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news as Ruben Amorim sends a transfer warning to Manchester United fans involving people like Bruno Fernandes, Marcus Rashford, Gyökeres, Manu, Garnacho and much more. We'll delve into that. It's also match day. For the first time in over 2 weeks, we're going to get Manchester United back in action. For the first time in over 2 weeks, we had actual comments from Ruben Amorim last night to get into, but also yesterday, which Beth talked about as well. A few other bits I want to talk about as well. Also, this potential Manu being allowed to go. I've heard what Paul Scholes had to say about it this morning. Where does he fit in? That's the problem. He's a good player, but where does he fit in? And do Man United have the budget or time to keep players that don't fit in? Would it not be logical to move them on? We'll talk about that as well. And also, it is a April Fool's free zone. I hate this rubbish. You will not get headlines like Rashford's coming back on a 10-year contract, or Ineos are going to sell to Qatar, or Man United are going to bring Ronaldo back for one more season. None of this childish nonsense. Roll on midday. Oh, you know what? There was a time I used to like April Fool's when I was about 7. I don't like April Fool's. It's a load of crap. And I can't believe grown-up people try and do it around football stories and even put tweets out trying to catch people out. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. I just can't be bothered with it at all. Anyway, let's talk about real stuff. There'll be nothing like that. A big shout out as well. Look at that lovely picture in the background now. That was from the Dublin show. I've had that. Somebody gifted me that in London yesterday. Shout out to Ross. Actually love that. It's so good. A nice little memorial of a fantastic night. No one on there is dead, as far as I know. I'm certainly here. And Beth messaged me this morning. I've not heard from Ricky and Danny, but God willing, they're still with us. It's not a memorial. It's a memory of a fantastic evening in Dublin. I'm feeling fine. Yeah, I was in London yesterday. If you watched Vatch Football, Baller League was, all I'm going to say is LB. What's his second name? Goat. I'm going to get a ponytail next week. But back to Manchester United. Lots to talk about. Ruben Amorim obviously did his press conference yesterday, lunchtime. There is the embargoed section that came out at about 10:30 last night. So a lot of this you probably haven't heard of. We are back tonight and that's no April Fool's, Mark, says Ray Carl. We're winning tonight, Ray. We're winning. I think United will win tonight. I really, really do. I want to start off, though, with... I do want to talk about what Ruben Amorim said. He had a few things to say about Bruno, Rashford, a few other bits as well. But I actually want to start off with this story, because this is the one that interests me the most. So it's coming in from Laurie Whitwell this morning. And basically, it's just an update from something he's put out. Talk of Victor Gyökeres to Manchester United has been tepid. Tepid means, not very prominent because of the cost involved in a deal. United might look to go a shade younger and are already exploring other options like Liam Delap. Liam Delap holds an appeal for Man United because of his age, 22, and the prospect of recruiting him from Ipswich in the event of their relegation. Wilcox is a fan of Delap, having worked with him at the Man City Academy. Manchester United's tight budget is a major factor in any options, including Osimhen, whose wages would be an obstacle. Some kind of swap deal might make that deal more financially palatable, with Napoli holding an interest in Garnacho. I'm surprised that Laurie Whitwell, who is actually very good at his job, has actually put pen to paper on that, because as we spoke about on the weekend, he clearly doesn't understand the FFP connotations of a swap deal, as per what Swedish Rumble put out a few weeks ago. Man United can't make a swap deal work with Osimhen and Garnacho, because Garnacho's book value is zero as a youth player. It absolutely screws us. You can't do a swap deal with a youth player for a player like Osimhen, because on the books it goes down as zero for Garnacho. So we don't make any money out of that. Whereas if you sell Garnacho as a youth product, it's pure profit. So we're not going to do a swap deal for Osimhen and Garnacho unless we're absolutely stupid, or there's been some sort of rule change, or Swedish Rumble was wrong. literally, very quickly, Garnacho, if you swap him with Osimhen, the way UEFA works, even if you say it's 100 million and 200 million, they go, no, his book value is zero because he's a youth player. His book value is zero. So what's the difference between what you've paid for Garnacho and Osimhen? Well, that's the value of the deal. So we get zero on the FFP for that. So I don't know why that's there. Again, it's a red herring. It's not been researched as far as from what I know. So I don't see that happening. But I do agree with the Delap story, and I do agree with the Gyökeres story. It just feels like United are pushing this cheap angle and young angle. And I think it's all about what angle you want to believe. Like, do you want to believe that Manchester United are buying young, or do you want to believe that Manchester United are buying cheap? And look, Ruben Amorim spoke about this in his press conference last night. He said, look, will there be any big money signings? This is straight from the manager. We have to do something different in relation to big money signings, but then it depends on the cases, of the position, of the experience of the players, of the opportunity of the market. So I don't want to say that we're going to do just this, you know, i.e. buy just young players or buy just old players. But he said, we are trying to look at things in a different way, because we have to change something, but anything can happen. Our focus is to build something, not just for the present, but the long run. So we will see. So I always think, listen to Ruben Amorim, because yes, the club are pushing this whole, we don't want Gyökeres, we want Delap. He's worked with Wilcox at the Manchester City Academy. We really like him. But let's cut through all that crap and PR and, you know, client journalism or whatever. Liam Delap is playing for a relegated side at 22 and he's not ready to go into an Arsenal team to help them win the league. Why mentioning Arsenal? Because Arsenal need an experienced striker. Why do we not need an experienced striker then? I mean, are we just happy to keep talking about the future in the mid-table? Like, we need an experienced striker. Like, Arsenal will not sign Liam Delap. They won't do it because he's his potential. They need a guy now. Why do we not need a guy now? And there endeth the lesson. And why are we going for Delap over Gyökeres? Because he's cheaper. So I'll keep calling it out. I don't mind Liam Delap coming to Man United, but it's cheap and it's young and it's inexperienced. And I think, as Ruben Amorim says, you've got to look at the position of the experience of the players and the opportunity of the market. I don't want to say we're just going to do one thing or the other. We'll look at all things and all factors. But it depends on the cases there. So maybe just calm down a little bit. I certainly think Ruben Amorim is not saying we're going to buy young and cheap. I think Ruben Amorim is saying, I want the best in the position. If I can bring a young player in and it works for the rest of the team, that's fine. But in certain cases, you need experience. And we all know that we need experience in that team going forward. So I think that's ultimately what we're going to have to try and figure out. But as I say, Man United, Sir Jim Ratcliffe seems to just be pushing this, we want young, cheap players, but I don't think it fits the bill of what we're looking to do. And I'm glad that Ruben Amorim has come out and basically said that's not necessarily what we're trying to do. Also, I think that I disagree, and I don't know what you think about this, just before we move on. I disagree with the fact that if you look at the last 10 years, we've got to change something. No, shut up. What a load of shit. What sort of sheep have we got in our fan base? Well, look at what we've done in the past and it hasn't worked. Oh, okay. So you know what? If Batman in The Dark Knight Rises, when he tried to climb out the hole and he fell and nearly broke his back, if he'd gone, well, I've tried it before, so I won't try and climb out again. He'll never get out of the hole, will he? Just because you've tried something before and it didn't work doesn't mean it won't work next time. So we spent £89 million on Paul Pogba. We spent £80 million on Antony. We spent £75 million on Jadon Sancho. We spent £80 million on Harry Maguire. So we should never spend, you know, if somebody knocks on the door and says, do you want Valverde for £80 million? Do you want Verts for £75 million? Do you want Gyökeres for £65 million? Do you want Isak for £90 million? Nah. We tried that with Pogba and Sanchez. We tried it with Pogba and Antony. It didn't work. We're not doing it again. Absolutely stupid. Absolutely stupid. Come on. I can't get on board with the whole, we've got to change what we've done before in relation to transfers. No. Because I've lived the last 10 years. And most of the time, people were like, why are we spending £80 million on him? He's way overpriced. Why are we giving that wage to him? It's ridiculous. That's not on spending money, that's on the prats who are spending it. You know, it's like giving your teenage kid 20 quid to go down the shop on a Saturday and get dinner, and he comes back with, like, you know, five bottles of Pepsi and a packet of Doritos. What, and no change. What am I supposed to do with that? Like, it's the buyer. They're prats. Like, trust me, if I had £100 million, I wouldn't say, well, let's buy Delap and keep the change. I'd say, let's buy the best bloody striker we can. And that is the mic drop, isn't it? If I've got £100 million to buy a striker, am I buying Liam Delap for 40, or am I going right up to 90 or 100? I'm going right up to 90 or 100. If I've got £100 million just for a striker. And that's the thing, isn't it? We're not buying expensive players because we're saying, they're just trying to pull the wool over your eyes. They're trying to say, we need to stop buying expensive players because we've been so bad at it in the past. No, let's tell the truth. You've got no bloody money, so you're buying cheap. And most cheap players are young. But if I had £100 million to spend on a striker, I wouldn't be buying Liam Delap or Jonathan David on a free. I'd spend the full amount on the best I can get. Obviously, I understand we can't do that, but let's be honest about it. Let's stop pretending that we don't want to spend £100 million on players because we've made mistakes in the past. That's stupid. Like, there are some very good £100 million players out there that I would love at Man United. Set looks great, says Rob. Always United. Thank you very much. Is 90 million a realistic target for Rashford and Anthony, says Rajaf? I'll talk about that in a little bit, mate, because we've got some more breaking stuff to talk about. I certainly want to talk about what Terry was talking about last night about Mainoo. I want to have my say on that. Also, Paul Scholes has spoke about it, so I want to have a chat like that. Trey Warren says, is Liam Delap better than Rasmus? I don't think he is. It's not going to make our attack start firing any better. Look, I don't want to turn into a Liam Delap story. I'm not convinced. I don't think he's the right profile for what we're looking at. But I do agree with you. What's the difference between Rasmus and Liam Delap? The fact that we're having that conversation suggests that they might be quite similar. They're certainly similar in age. Why would we want two 22-year-olds? It's stupid. Why would we want two 22-year-olds development strikers? It's fucking stupid. One of them's got to be experienced, and they're not. So I don't get what that would all be about. At some point, somebody in that football club's got to say, we've got to stop buying young, inexperienced players and bring a few experienced players in. If you've got three, look, we play with three centre-backs. If we've got Yoro, Heaven and another young centre-back, you need De Ligt, Mazraoui and another experienced centre-back. If we've got Dorgu at left wing-back, we need a more experienced left-back. I mean, ideally, Luke Shaw, if he could stay bloody fit. In the midfield, if you've got Collier and maybe Kone coming through, you need a Garte and another experienced midfielder. If you up front, you've got Obi and Rasmus, you need an experienced striker. You don't need another young one. But I think Amrim is resisting. I think Amrim resists this bullshit. And I think he's doing that in what he said in his interview last night. I think he's saying, look, we're not just going to buy young and experienced. It depends on what we can get. I think he wants Gyökeres, but it's whether he can do the deal. I think that's dependent on whether we win the Europa League. I genuinely think we can get a Gyökeres. I genuinely think we can get a Cunha, but I think we've got to win the Europa League. And I think that's what Amrim wants. I can't believe for one second Ruben Amrim sat there going, yeah, just get me a load of 20-year-olds. It'll be fine. He can't believe what Sir Jim Ratcliffe tells him. So Jim Ratcliffe and Jason Wilcox will be saying, you're our guy, you're here for the next 5 years, guaranteed, we'll buy all these young players, don't listen to the noise outside, you're our guy, you're going to stay. But Ruben Amrim's not stupid, and there is no case in football history where a manager survives just because the owners say we're going to back him. The owners can think they're powerful, but managers get sacked on what fans want. And when that movement goes against the manager, it becomes horrible. And Amrim's not stupid about that. So he's not going to sit there going, I just want young players because I'm here for 5 years. He's ambitious. He wants to start doing well now. Shane O'Hare, welcome to Members Club. Thank you very much. I heard that United are interested in Balde. Is it true? Says Mohammed. I've not heard anything about that, mate. And will the fire and sun Will the hot and cold meter return, says Casper? Yes, it does need to return. We'll get that up and running soon. Gift Real G has been a member for 16 months. Thank you very much. Tom Campbell says, morning, MG. Lots been made about signing young, non-injury prone players. Do you think elite mentality actually matters more? Thanks, pal. Thank you very much. It's a really bad example, but in a way, it's a good example. I was at Baller League last night, and there was one of the teams that had loads of, the six-a-side, one of the teams had loads of players in their late 20s, early 30s, and they tore apart the opposition they played last night on experience and calmness. Experience is so important. In most things, experience is really important. You put two chefs together, one who's brilliant but young and one who's been doing it for years, the experience comes through and it helps the young person as well. We're a football club that's done this for our entire history. We need to keep doing it. Development of youth is incredible, but also you need the experience to nurture it. And I don't think we've got enough experience in that team at the moment. Can I just say as well, commiserations to the youth team last night who lost on penalties in the FA Youth Cup semi-final to Aston Villa. Horrible way to go out. We've got an incredible history in the Youth Cup and I was shocked that we went out, but these things happen. So, you know, get those heads up, lads. You've got great careers and got great futures and don't let that define you. Penalty shootout, you know, what's that all about? But I fancied us this year to do it. But, you know, there we go. Unlucky. Right, let's move on. Let's talk about Bruno Fernandes. Bruno Fernandes, as they used to say on FIFA, which I need to bring back, actually. I'm starting to get the urge to bring my Man United career mode back and finish it. But before we talk about that, this is what Ruben Amorim had to say about Bruno Fernandes' future. I think we were all expecting this after what happened at the weekend. Does it draw a line underneath it? You spoke about Rashford. I want to talk about Mainoo as well. Does it draw a line under Ruben Amorim, Real Madrid rumours? It's not going to happen, said Ruben Amorim. This is the challenge. I want Bruno here because, like I said, maybe in the lowest moments of our season, we want to win the Premier League again. So we want the best players to continue with us. He's 29 slash 30, but he's still so young because he plays 50 to 55 games every season. Between assists and goals, he's there for 30 at least. So he's the type of player that we want here. He's not going anywhere. We are in control of the situation of Bruno, and I feel that he's really happy here, especially because he understands what we want to do. And then I think he's one more supporter of Man United and he really feels it. Sometimes the frustration you see, everybody sees and says that maybe it's not a good thing in a captain. It's a sign that he wants this so bad. So this is the kind of player that we want, and he's not going anywhere because I already told him that anyway. Look, does that draw a line underneath it? Probably. Does it mean I wouldn't sell him to Real Madrid for 90 million? Of course I would. Do I think Real Madrid were ever going to offer 90 million? No. So Bruno Fernandes, if Man United say you're not going anywhere, he's just signed a massive new contract on 300 grand a week less than 12 months ago. So he won't be going anywhere, will he? I think the interesting thing with Bruno Fernandes is he's playing well at the moment, but he's playing in a new position. And I think he's going to be a centre midfielder from now on. Now, I'm still jury out on that. I don't know whether Bruno can play that role where Amorim wants to take us. Like, he's talking about winning Premier Leagues. He's talking about qualifying for the Champions League. Can Bruno Fernandes play in a holding midfield position or a midfield pivot against the likes of Barcelona, Real Madrid, Liverpool, Arsenal? This is what we need to see with Bruno, because this is going to be his next 3 or 4 years at Man United. He's not going to be a number 10. I just don't think he is. I don't think he's what Amorim's looking for. I think he's looking at Bruno next to Ugarte or whatever the plan is there. So I think the big question about Bruno is, and the jury is still out, what's his role in the team and can he do it? I think in the centre midfield position, he's more disciplined. And a more disciplined Bruno is a better Bruno. So, look, he's had a really good couple of weeks. And we really need him to have a good couple of months over the next couple of months. But I don't think Ruben Amorim is going to ever want to sell Bruno Fernandes. And I think we all probably knew that already. Speaking about loaned players, he said, we see our players doing well in loan in a different context. That can happen and it's a good sign for the club. Again, I don't want to spend too much time on this because I want to talk about the Mainoo situation a little bit too. Also, he spoke about Luke Shaw. I think with regards to the loan players, there are some people out there who, I don't understand it, but they, when Antony or Rashford do well, are like balling, they're cooking, they're proving Amorim wrong, bring them back in the summer. And it's like, Amorim's absolutely spot on. I said this yesterday. They loan them out in the hope that they're going to do this because they've been loaned out because Amorim doesn't want them. If you lend your lawnmower to your neighbour for the summer because you've got a better lawnmower, it's because you don't want it, you're not bothered about that lawnmower. And Amorim wasn't bothered about Rashford and Antony. So they're surplus to requirements. So if they go off and do well for somebody else, which means you can then sell that lawnmower, then this is happy days. But some people get confused with when we loan players and they do well, we've made a mistake. The whole purpose of loaning them is in the hope that they will do well so that players you don't want, other people do want. And so, you know, I'm surprised that people don't understand that. He did go on to say about Rashford. I know Rashford really well and everybody knows the talent he has. I already spoke about that. He's a top player if he wants to be. So I'm not surprised. And like I said, it's the same with Antony and it's a good thing. Exactly. We move on. He says, if there's a chance that Rashford stays at United, I mean, it's a stupid question. I did listen to the press conference yesterday and yet again, I thought it was poor. And that's being polite. I thought some of the questions were so poor, considering the conversations we've had on here over the last 2 weeks over the international break. There's about 50 decent questions you could ask about the future of United, the present team, numerous players, transfers, the strategy of the club, Sir Jim Ratcliffe. There's so many questions. I mean, like Sir Jim Ratcliffe did that interview telling everyone how great the Glazers were. You could get in about that. But you get the same old shit questions about, you know, is Rashford coming back in the summer? Is Harry Maguire starting? You know, they didn't ask that Maguire question, but I'm sure it was on their list. Asked if he's coming back. I mean, what is... The thing about the question is, some people might quite enjoy that question, but pray tell me this. How, without reading the answer, how the hell is Ruben Amorim going to answer the question, is Rashford coming back in the summer? You can't... It's unanswerable. You can't answer it. Because you're not going to say yes, he is, because Rashford might not want to and you might not want him back. And you're not going to say no, he's not, because then you're going to decrease his value and undermine him again. So it's just a stupid question. If you're asking a question, you've got to think of what the replies are going to be and whether the replies are going to be useful. What did Amorim say? Let's focus on the Forest game. We're happy with our players that we are and that we're happy that the players are doing well on loan. Also, oh my God, I didn't even know this. He got asked about Antony as well. Somebody actually followed a... oh, my God. Take their journalism badge away. Somebody then asked about Antony. Same again. You can't answer the question. He says, I'm planning for the future, but I don't want to talk about the future in this moment. I just want to focus on the game. Stupidity. Absolutely stupidity. Anything else from Amorim? Yeah, he did speak about Luke Shaw. He did speak about injuries. He did say that on Ahmad, I don't know about a return date. I think he's going to play still this season. I don't know when, but we are really confident on that. With regards to Ahmad, I'm still going to stay end of this month, which is April now, because it's April the 1st. But some people are saying it might be into May, I think at the end of the day, with regards to Ahmad, if we can get him back, look, we've got to get through Lyon. If we get through Lyon, we're probably playing Athletic Club. And I know that either the first or second leg is the first week of May. If we could have Ahmad on the bench for those games, I think that would be a huge bonus. The Premier League doesn't massively matter. If we got knocked out of the Europa League, I'd be tempted to say Ahmad, just have a rest. I mean, that's a great point, actually. I don't know whether people agree. If we got knocked out by Lyon and Ahmad wasn't back, I'd say take the rest of the season off. I wouldn't be rushing him back, to be honest with you. Love the content. Can't stand these pundits always talking about Rashford. So I think it's been good for the club to have a quiet period, says Ginger. Who do you think we need to sell, Mark, to get the 5 targets you mentioned yesterday? So I was talking yesterday on That's Football about my 5 targets that are realistic, but probably out of our budget. So I would buy Gyökeres, Cunha, Ederson, Frimpong and Costa, the goalkeeper. We also need a centre-back and we also need a No, I think we'd be all right with those. I think those six signings would be really transformative for United. How do we do that? We've got to win the Europa League. And we've probably got to, if we're being realistic, sell about £150 million worth of players. Rashford might bring you 40. Anthony might break you even. Wesley says, I've just seen a tweet. Are we in the Club Cup? Mate, this is an April Fool zone free. Don't bring any of your nonsense here. Or realise it's April Fool's, pal. You might not have realised. These idiots who think they're being funny. I just don't think it's funny. Call me miserable, Bridge, but I just don't think the novelty of doing April Fool's posts about transfers or stuff like that was so 2017. It's not been funny for 7 years. It's just crap. Boring. Anyway, back to reality. So Ahmad, end of April, start of May. Let's wait and see what happens. Like I said, if we got knocked out by Lyon, I wouldn't bring him back for Premier League games anyway. I'd say take off the rest of the season. He's also spoken about Luke Shaw and said that it's not time yet for Luke Shaw. When will it be bloody time? Shops will be shut by the time he's ready. So Luke Shaw's not quite ready. Mason Mount, Lenny Yoro and Harry Maguire apparently are. So they could all be involved today. And Mainoo, Shaw and Heaven not quite ready yet. Mainoo apparently is close to return. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with Luke Shaw, actually, because I feel that with... with Luke Shaw, he reminds me a little bit of, I don't know whether you've ever had this, like when you've got your favourite glass that you drink out of and it's got a crack in it and you just know you can't really use it because if you use it, it's going to break at some point. And I feel like Luke Shaw is a little bit like that. He's like a game of Jenga, isn't he? You know, towards the end where it's barely balancing and you know, if you touch it slightly or you remove another block, it's all going to come falling down. He's not built on strong foundations, is he? And it just, every time I hear people talk about Luke Shaw, whether it's privately or publicly like Amorim, it's always, we've got to be careful. We've got to tread very carefully here. This is Premier League football. It's intense. It's a game every few days. It's competitive. You know, it's all or nothing. You can't have players that you are taking your time with, being careful with. We've got to be careful. We've got to be steady. The fact that we're still having to do that with him tells us all that he's going to be injured again very soon. His body is not going to be able to deal with this. I understand why United do it, because what's the alternative? But I think as fans, we've just got to be very, very clear in our heads that we don't fall for the bullshit. They're doing it because they have to do it. They've got a guy on a long contract on £200,000 a week who they can't get rid of and they can't just say we've given up on. So they've got to keep going through this whole, yeah, he's coming back stronger this time. He's never been so good. He's feeling good. We've got to be a bit careful with him. But ultimately, this is a very intense, competitive, physical league and you can't have players that you're treading carefully with. He ain't going to last. He ain't going to last. And it's a big, big shame. But he ain't going to last. If we can get a month or two out of him, as I said before, if he can last till the end of the season before he gets injured again, happy days. But I just don't... It won't be a surprise when he's injured again. That's all I'm going to say. Are we not considering Gyökeres because of the Europa League, says Tech? We're in the Europa League at the moment, but if we buy him, hopefully we'll be in the Champions League. So hopefully we will. Also, I wanted to just circle back, and talk about this very, very quickly. I know Terry spoke about it last night, but I've heard what Paul Scholes said about it this morning, and I want to just add that in and then add my two pennies worth as well. So there was this story last night that around Mainoo, basically saying that And also, there was something about Sir Jim Ratcliffe as well. But cashing in on Mainoo or Garnacho remains a serious option this summer. Mainoo is understood to be entertaining the idea of seeking a move away from the club, with the youngster yet to put pen to paper on a new contract. Amrum is not completely convinced Mainoo has the fitness levels to be a success in his system. The club would therefore reluctantly sell for offers of around £70 million. Now, I heard Paul Scholes this morning saying, look, good player, but I'm starting to look at it and go, where does he fit into an Amrum system? And then he added it up with, look, you know, you look at the goal against Wolves last season and you look at what he did for England and you look at what he did last season. That was all under Ten Hag. And the point he was basically making is that everything good about Mainoo happened under Ten Hag. And what we're talking about here is, it's not that he's not a good player, but does he fit in an Amrum system? And everything we know that Mainoo did good was under a Ten Hag system. So where does he fit in an Amrum system? The Amrum system is obviously very different to Ten Hag. In a Ten Hag, it's a 4-3-3. And in the midfield, you are three midfielders, holder, box-to-box, 10, with a bit of manoeuvrability. But in an Amrum system, it's two definitive holders and two very mobile number 10s. We've had this argument before. Amrum played Mainoo as a number 10 in a game and he played quite well. And then the game before that and the game after that, he didn't. And people in the game that he played well, I'm telling you now, he's a 10. And I said, he's 19. That's the only number that matters. He's not a 10. He's not a 6. He's not an 8. I don't really know what he is. And that's my argument. How can we make our mind up on a 19-year-old that he doesn't fit the system? I just think it's a mistake. I completely agree with what Paul Scholes says, and I completely agree with what some of you say, and if it's what Amrum thinks, I agree. Where does he fit in the system? I completely agree that. But we're not dealing with a 27-year-old. We're not talking about Marcus Rashford, who doesn't fit in the system because he wants to play left side attack and we haven't got one, and he's 27. I get that. But Mainoo is 19. How can we know at 21 that in 2 years' time he's not a 10 or he's not a 6? So I actually call bullshit. If we are going to sell Mainoo and front it off as where does he fit in the system, I'm going to call bullshit and say, bullshit, you're selling him because he's pure profit at 60 million quid. There's no way a 19-year-old can be pigeonholed as not suitable for a system. It's ridiculous. So I'm calling it. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I don't think he's going to go. I genuinely think he will stay, but I'm not having that. Oh, he's got to be sold because he doesn't fit in the system. He's 19. He can be molded into whatever you want. 10, 6. It doesn't matter. And we've got four of those positions. We play with two holders and two attacking midfielders. So he can definitely be molded into that. I just worry that same old story, Garnacho, Mainoo, they're pure profit players. Let's pretend they don't fit in the system so we can sell them for pure profit, which may well be the blueprint for what we're going to do in the future. So yeah, I don't know. But I do concede this season you're struggling, definitely. But I don't agree that you can say that a 19-year-old doesn't suit a system. Patrick Lynch says, we have players that have been so injury prone, it makes me appreciate the likes of Bruno and Delo, who always seem to be available. Durability must be a consideration for any new signings. Well, I agree, Patrick. Another great point. There are numerous players out there that do stay fit for very long periods of time. And, you know, I think we do value the likes of Bruno. I mean, even De Ligt this season, I think, has stayed fit a lot. But yeah, we need plenty more of those types of players, certainly. There was another bit as well I just wanted to bring in. Not that one. Here it is. Same article. And it basically said that Sir Jim Ratcliffe is willing to back Amrum and allowing him to bring in the type of player he needs to fit into his footballing ethos. Young players in peak fitness are the main requirement. I disagree. I disagree on that. I don't think Ruben Amrum is saying, buy me young players who are peak fitness, because they don't actually exist. They don't actually exist. It's another ageism myth. Let's buy 22-year-olds or younger because they're always fit. Well, they're not always fit, are they? They're not always fit. There's loads of players under 21 who get injured a lot. In fact, young players do pick up injuries because their body is still developing. So again, I just feel like Amrim's literally said it in a press conference that he's not exclusively looking at young players. It depends on budgets, availability, and whether they need experience in certain roles. That's from his own mouth last night. Ruben Amrim said last night, we're not just going to exclusively buy experienced players or young players. We're going to look at budgets, availability, and what we think we need and what we can get. But United, from above Amrim, keep pushing, yeah, we want young, available players. But it's what you want is cheap players. You don't want young players. You want cheap players. And all this bullshit that young players are available more, it's not actually true. It's not true. Mainu's 19. He's been injured for what feels like half a season. Ahmad, young, injured for half a season. So young players get injured as much as 25-year-olds. The reality is they're pushing us down the young route because they want to go cheap. But we do need some experience. We do. This is business. Oh, we need young players because they're available and oh, they'll be great for the future. What about the now? What about the now? Yoro, another one, injured a lot. But it's not just Man United. Young players get injured a lot. They do. I don't know the facts. I don't know whether 25-year-olds get injured more than 19-year-olds, but 19-year-olds do get injured quite a bit and always have done. Mainu is last player I sell, but engine is concerns, is Robert McCormack. He's had a bad season, Robert Mainu. If I was having this chat with you this time last year, people would be in uproar about selling him. It's easy to sell a player when they're not doing well. But I just think that, well, look at Heaven. He got injured as well. Nothing to do with being young, just an impact injury. If you play football, you can get injured. It doesn't matter what age you are. It's incredible that United might think that buying young players means they're going to be available more. I mean, Delo's 25, Bruno Fernandes is 30. They're always available. So, you know, I think that the reality is, some people can play football till they're 42. Some people stop at 28. It's genetics. It's past injuries. Everybody is unique. And that's what, you know, scouting a football player is much more difficult than looking at their passport. And if that's what United are trying to push to the fans, well, we want to buy young players because they're available more. Bullshit. You want to buy young players because they're cheap and they've got a resale value. The hard work, the money ball process, or whatever you want to call it, is proper scouting. If I've got five players all playing in the French league, I don't just look at who scored or the passport. I look at far more detail than that. How many games have they played? How many minutes have they played? What type of games were they? What position did they play? What was the result? How much running did they do in those games? Even fight down to the finer detail. What did they do in that game? Did they make tackles? Because that's going to give more impact, you know. Or were they on the ball much? Did they run much? This is the finer detail of scouting that you need. You can't just look at how many games they've played and gone, oh, they've played 50 games for the last three seasons and they've not been injured. But maybe they were shit in those games. Maybe they didn't run around much in those games. That's the proper scouting that we need at Manchester United, the finer detail, because there will be players who are 25, who've had three different injuries in their previous 12 months. There'll be players who are 28, who've had one injury in the last 5 years. And I'll take the 28-year-old. It's not about age. And this is a stupid message that's coming out of the club at the moment. Age. They're trying to brainwash you about age. Well, we've got to buy 22-year-olds or younger because they're available more and they're going to be better for our future. No, bullshit. Absolute bullshit. I'll buy a 28-year-old over a 23-year-old if they have got a better physicality and ability. 100%. 100%. Because you might, you know, that 28-year-old might be done in 4 years' time, but the 23-year-old at 27 might be fucking useless. So we can't. It's strange that United are basically saying we don't want to buy people over 25. Really, really weird. Replacing the young players with young players is crazy, says Andy to me. Unless they aren't good enough, then sell. Imagine if Luke Shaw never had an injury, says Asger. And Red Devil Girls says, only young player I'd take as a striker is Samu Aguoa because he's so much better than other young strikers. There we go. Thank you, Red Devil Girl. Shaunuk with the super chat says, almost missed the show due to the time change. Sorry about that. I mean, I keep forgetting about this. Yeah, it is 10 o'clock in the UK, so apologies for that. I think some of you have to adjust. Let us know what country you have to adjust in. I always forget this when the clocks change. Yeah, our clocks went back on Sunday morning, so it really normally would be... no, they went forward, didn't they? So it's normally like last week, this would have been 9 o'clock, wouldn't it? No wonder I feel a bit tired. Shaunuk says, anyway, I nearly missed it because of that. In which positions do you think we need more experience and where do you think young talent can be integrated? I like this question. We can bring a young centre-back in. See, this is what I mean. I don't think anybody's against bringing young players in. Dorgu, very exciting. We can bring a young player in at right wing-back if we want to, because we've got Dalot, Mazraoui. I'd like Frimpong, but we could bring a young player in and it would be fine. At centre-back, we can bring another young centre-back in because we've got the likes of De Ligt, Mazraoui can play there, Maguire's staying another year. We've already got Yoro, Martinez hopefully will come back, Heaven. So we can have another young centre-back. In the midfield, I would say we probably need a bit of experience, 25-year-old or above, because we've got Ugarte and Bruno, but then it's Collier, Mainoo. I would say we need a bit another experienced player there with Eriksen and Casemiro going. In the number 10 positions, I would look at a bit of experience because we've got Amad, we've got Garnacho, we've got Xerxes, and Mount's always injured. So I'd probably want a bit of experience there. And up front, 100% experience. Like we've got Obi and Rasmus and Xerxes can play there. We need an experienced player there. So yeah, experience 100% in the striker position. And probably in the number 10 position. And in the midfield position, but centre-back wides, I think we could go young again. But, you know, it's funny, isn't it? Because we're not Arsenal, but we're in the very similar position to Arsenal. And I like using Arsenal as the benchmark because we're not trying to win the league next season. We're not trying to win the Champions League next season. But if Arsenal want to go from second place to the title, they need to buy an experienced striker. They cannot buy a 21-year-old who's got to learn because they need to win next year. And their fans won't put up with an inexperienced striker when they need to win next year. So they have to buy an experienced striker. Why is it not different for us? Why have we got the time to go and get another inexperienced striker? There are places where we can bring inexperience in, but... You know, I was at Baller League last night. It was a shame, actually, because I was hoping that Alan Shearer would be there or Ian Wright or someone, because I wanted to get a word with them and just say, if you were playing up front for Man United, what's the problem? And they're experienced Premier League strikers, so it'd be interesting to see what their opinion is. We're just crying out for an experienced striker at Man United, and it will help Rasmus and it will help Obi, really. Tech says, with Mainoo, I'd like to see him continue in the 10 role. His dribbling is very good, but just needs to find the pass and finish better. Has Mainoo got the mobility for the number 10 role? I think this is the question. I think it's his biggest weakness is his mobility. Mobility in the midfield is a trait that never really gets mentioned. I remember saying this about Ugarte last summer. For a midfielder, Ugarte is really quick. But you don't, you know, Rodri's not particularly quick. You know, Modric is not particularly quick. Kovacic, you know, I'm trying to think of Declan Rice. They're not quick. When you look at those players, you're not thinking speed. When you're having a game of EAFC, you're not thinking... I mean, I like Musa on EAFC. He's bloody brilliant in the midfield. But yeah, you're not necessarily looking at that. But Ugarte does move across the ground quickly. But in the number 10 position, in an Amrin position, I think you need to be quick. I think he needs quick players in that position or dribblers. And Mainoo can dribble, but is he quick enough at it? I think Mainoo works better. I think Mainoo's an 8. The problem is that's Bruno's role. If we're having a real conversation, I think the big problem Mainoo's got is that Bruno's got his position. You look at the job that Bruno's doing at the moment, he's in the pivot, but he's the creative source. And he has license to get forward and Ugarte will sit. That's Mainoo's role. I think the problem at the moment, and nobody's discussing it, is not, well, they are, but they're not saying it. Where, even Paul Scholes says it, where does Mainoo fit into this team? Is he a 10? Is he this, that, and the other? He fits in the role that Bruno's got. And this was the same problem that Mason Mount would have had last year. In a Ten Hag system, where does Mason Mount play? Because he's not an 8 and he's not a 6, and there's Bruno's always going to play. So yeah, Mason Mount being injured under Ten Hag was a problem, but where was he going to play anyway? Because there was only one place he could play, and it's Bruno. And I think the big problem Mainoo's got at the moment, his best position is where Bruno's playing next to Ugarte with license to get forward. And Bruno's never injured and Bruno never gets subbed. So I think the problem is Mainoo's not a 6. At the moment, he's not a 6. At the moment, I don't think he's mobile enough to be a 10 and start. And then his best position, I think, is Bruno's position, but he's not going to start there. And that's probably what Scholesy was sort of saying. He's a good player, but if he's not a starter, what is he? And that becomes the problem then, doesn't it? Where does he... It's all right saying, I want to keep Mainoo. He's 19, he can develop into anything. But he can't go from starting for England and Man United to sitting on the bench in a mid-table Man United side. And at the moment, if he's fit, where do you put him in the team? And even I would say, well, I'm not putting him where Ugarte is. I'm not putting him where Bruno is. And I'm not putting him with where Xerxes, Garnacho, or hopefully Ahmad is. So I don't know where Mainoo comes into the team. So he has to be on the bench unless we've got injuries or come on. And really, that seems a bit weird because for me, Mainoo should be a starter. And I think that's the problem we've got at the moment. Where does he fit into the team? Can he become a number 10? Can he become a number 6? Could he ever take Bruno's spot? And at the moment, I think all those answers are probably, we don't know. But I wouldn't be selling him because he's 19. But then you understand like how a businessman works. Well, he doesn't, if he's not starting and somebody's willing to give us £60 million, let's take the money. And also, the player might be going, if I'm not starting, I might want to go. We won't loan him. I could really see Mainoo thrive in a Dortmund side and actually have a really good career about abroad like Bellingham. I like him, but could see it. I just think, Zion, it would be such a shame to sell Mainoo at 19 and know he's going to go off and be good. It's the same as Garnacho for me. I believe that if we sell Garnacho or Mainoo, they will go off somewhere else and be good. And we're bloody mid-table. Like, we shouldn't be letting good players go off and thrive, in my opinion. Hi, Mark. Are Ineos quiet because of what happened with Kenda? If teams find out genuine targets, whether experienced or not, other clubs may jump, says Sean. I don't think it really matters, mate. I really don't. What we hear, everybody knows in the industry anyway. Like, I'm not tapped in and never have been, but you do hear things from people that you get to know from working with them or interacting with them. And look, if we're linked to that right-sided player from Braga and we genuinely want him, even before that hit the press, Arsenal will know, Chelsea will know. The clubs know before it even hits the press. So even if nobody'd mentioned Kenda and Man United, Chelsea would know we were in for him anyway. Agents, it's their job, really. Imagine there's a player who plays in the midfield for an Italian side that we're talking to at the moment, and it's not even hit the press yet, but we're talking to them. Their agent will be talking to other Premier League clubs saying we're talking to Man United because it's in their interest to do it. And also the club that we're talking to that player will be telling other clubs as well because they just want more money. They're not going to go, we're not going to tell any other clubs that you're talking to us, because really, they just want more clubs to come in so they can bump the money up. Killen says, I really enjoyed your Freddie Ljungberg interview. He seemed to have a good footballing head on his shoulders. Also preferred him as Sweden's manager. Yeah, I was doing the Baller League yesterday and Freddie Ljungberg was there as one of the coaches and he was on the side in the background looking a bit like, I suppose it looked like he was a bit, didn't want to be there because he, but then he came in and spoke and yeah, he was a pleasure. I wanted to talk to him about United actually. I wanted to ask him about United because his answers about Arsenal and the technical side of the game were just very, very impressive and very, very long. So you very rarely get impressive answers and long answers from ex-players. Thoroughly enjoyed it. So hopefully if he's there next week, I might ask him about United because basically being Swedish, I was talking to him about Gyökeres or Isak and whether he'd take who he'd want at Arsenal. And he said, look, I think they're both fantastic players. And I hope that they both come to the Premier League. But I think he was sort of leaning towards Gyökeres because of his physicality, slightly having the edge over Isak. I think Isak's a better player than Gyökeres, but it was interesting what he said about Gyökeres and how his physicality might be a little bit more suitable to Arsenal. I mean, just bring him to bloody bring him to United, for God's sake. Bring, come to United. Frank says, I don't know why Maynou can't be Bruno's understudy, plus Bruno isn't going to play six for the remainder of his career. But how long can Maynou at 19 be an understudy to Bruno, who's probably going to play for the next 4 years? Best in class want Champions League. We will sign players who haven't played in Europe. Neves is a perfect transfer target. This is Lisa. Thank you very much for that. Neves, João Neves or Ruben Neves? Lisa. I'd imagine Ruben Neves, but I might be another Neves. Patrick Lynch, thank you very much, Lisa, for your super chat. Patrick Lynch is back. Thanks for your super chat. He says, Maynou was overplayed last season. It's led to injuries this season. At 19, would a season as a rotation player be beneficial, or is that just me trying to find a reason to keep him? I want to keep him, but obviously from his side, he probably doesn't want to be on the bench either because he wants to play for England. This is the problem. This is the problem with sacking managers. You know, Maynou under Ten Hag would always play. So would Rashford. But Ten Hag gets the sack, new manager comes in, can't find a place for Maynou, but probably wants to keep and develop him. Maynou goes, I was playing for England, I was a first teamer for Man United, now I'm on the bench, I don't want to be on the bench, I want to play first team football. Maynou, Amrim says, well, you will do, but you've got to evolve and learn with me, and it's going to take time. Maynou goes, I've done all that under the previous manager. I don't want to be on the bench. I want to play. So, you know, sacking managers can change careers, can't it? Because I think if Ten Hag had stayed and done well, Maynou would have been part of that project. We've now got a new manager and he's back at square one. And the player might be like, you know, a little bit unsettled by that. Anyway, long show this morning. Match day. Can't wait. What time are we kicking off? Tonight we'll have countdown to kick off as per usual, but Man United, I think we're 8 o'clock tonight. I've got a feeling 8 o'clock, yeah, so 8 o'clock tonight, so we'll be live from about 6:30. I'll be on at 7:30. Can't wait. Watch along vibes, we're back, love it. Thanks everyone for watching. Get your comments in if you're not watching live, smash a like on the video, and I will speak to you all later. I'm just so happy that football is back. Manchester Derby at the weekend, Lyon, Newcastle away, Lyon. You know, it's just football. I do like the international break, but it is a slower pace. I want to just get into watching football again. Big games. Take care. Stay safe. Speak to you later.